I understand weeks of school are busy. However, it would be great to see this committee's members specifically in attendance at these events. As more details are finalized, I will ensure to keep you all informed and up to date. Additionally, I alongside President Ogilbot, met with the Office of Government and Community Engagement to discuss future partnership opportunities and areas for growth. I look forward to our ongoing collaboration with the university's administration. On top of that, myself and the department members, Hatch and Atencio, met with their office for a second time to work on the logistics of upcoming projects in the work that can be areas for collaboration, as well as future event ideas that we would love to work on together. If you would ever like to work with their office, please let me know, as I plan to be a liaison for ASUN to the Office of Government and Community Engagement. Lastly, I met with President Ogilbot to come up with a strategy regarding federal policy changes affecting students and our university. We created a set of rules to ensure our association represents viewpoints from across the board and is inclusive to our diverse student population. While we plan on using social media, the outreach expands even further. I hope to do a club outreach and have direct student input regarding these policies while gaining feedback on what government affairs can do better. If you would like to set up a meeting, please contact me. I will be in Reno very soon and would love to connect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for AD Hatch? Right. Seeing as there are no questions, thank you very much, AD Hatch. We'll be moving on to agenda item, skipping past agenda item 7, onto agenda item 8, new business. We have a presentation from Director Rodriguez, which I will pull up here momentarily. Can everyone see the presentation? Okay. You may begin whenever you want.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Your chair asked me if I can come in and present kind of a historical overview of how the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement came to be. And quite frankly, I was just super happy that I could go. I love doing research, so it was fun to go back and do research. I'm going to assume I have like maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Trust me, I could have gone on for a long time. But I do think historical context is important. And I think you'll begin to understand what your colleagues were going through, especially related to COVID and beyond. So go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Today's agenda will have an introduction, beginning of democratic civic engagement on our campus, the creation of the Committee on Civic Engagement. Then what happened on May 25th, 2020, which really impacted ASUN and really, I think, the nation. And then how this committee started moving toward democratic civic engagement. So prior to this document was written in 2013. Have any of you read it? I can't remember if we passed it out to you. And if not, we should. And I think it's super important that you read it. Right around 2008, 9, 10, higher education was paying attention, and we were having these dialogues around how increasingly polarized the nation was becoming around politics and how that was essentially affecting the civic health of our nation. And I'm not going to lie to you, many of us were pretty alarmed. Things were being put into place in politics, and I'm just going to be truthful with you. Take Karl Rove and what his role was during the Bush administration, right? And feel free to write these names down and go do research on your own. At the end of the day, there was just a polarization that was becoming evident. And what we were noticing was that it was impacting higher education in that students were becoming disenfranchised and they were less likely to register to vote or to be engaged in the larger political discourse. And so, of course, like higher education does, right? We have to talk about it and we have to think about it and theorize about it. So, by 2013, Laura Sponsler, whom 2 years later, then Vice President of Student Services Shannon Ellis brought to our campus during our student services retreat. And I'll share more with you what happened about that. But Laura Sponsler got together with Matthew Bartley and they wrote this white paper. And essentially, it was a call. NASPA is a student affairs national organization. We didn't quite know what we could do for academicians, but we were saying, hey, we've got to start talking about how we need to change our practice as advisors to student government, right? As people that work in student services. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And so what we wanted to do was to provide resources, right? Like civic engagement is great. Don't get me wrong, it's important. And I love this breakdown because it breaks down engagement to community relationships, knowledge production of research, epistemology. Does that everybody know what epistemology is? It's the art or science of teaching. No, sorry, learning. Pedagogy is the art or science of teaching. Political dimensions and outcomes. And so as student affairs administrators, we started to say, hey, look, civic engagement is great, but the tendency of civic engagement is that there's a focus on activity and place. So it can be very transactional, right? And then student affairs started saying, we need to go a step further. We need to go to democratic civic engagement, where the purpose and the focus is not only on activity and place, but it's also on purpose and process, right? What are we doing with community as opposed to for community? Two very different things. If you read the piece Fixing, Helping, Serving, that should be a clear indicator to you, right? Is there really reciprocity in the relationships that we're having with these folks, right? When we engage in civic engagement. And so student affairs was saying, you've got somebody in there. Student affairs was saying, we've got to start changing our practice and what we do in terms of how we advise student government, how we advise residents, RHA, how we work with our first-gen students. Go ahead and go to the next slide. They also, this white paper, also laid down kind of the challenge to higher education. And specifically, we were challenging our academic affairs partners, right? Our faculty. We were saying, you know what? Let's ask ourselves these questions. Is there a partial foundation that's laid for civic learning and democratic engagement, or is it pervasive? Again, look at the two presentations, right? Partial civic learning is optional for students. If a university is truly committed to civic learning and democratic engagement, you want to have a pervasive civic learning. So in reality, civic learning is expected for all students, regardless of the field or area of study. Ergo, how many of you have ever taken service learning courses? If you haven't, you should try it. It's amazing, right? I think right now we have about 100 service learning courses that are being taught. And our colleagues over in the Office of Service Learning and Civic Engagement, I believe they're going to drop the civic engagement part because they're just overwhelmed now with the service learning part. You know, we partnered with that team years ago and said, okay, now we have this foundation, we've got this theory. Can you help us go challenge the faculty as well? Because what's at stake here really is the civic health of every student that comes to the University of Nevada, Reno and that graduates. Go to the next slide. So by the 85th session, and Jason, I actually sent you another link. Can you see if it works for you? I want you to share the link. Go to our chat. Get that.
Here,
Okay, perfect. What I'd like for you to do is to just go ahead and send that link
oh, okay.
to the group. What I did is I went in and found all of the legislation ever written by the Committee on Civic Engagement and then what became the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. And I think it's important because on your own time, I want you to see how the legislation becomes more complex and more bigger picture as opposed to. And I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, ASUN playing in its own sandbox. Okay? Super important. So when you have time, feel free to go through the legislation. We get to the 85th session, which is 2017-18. And this committee gets formed. We've been able to advise ASUN in a way where they say, oh, okay, we'll buy into civic engagement. It's going to be very program focused. The big event back then was called Service Palooza. Right? We'll bring what essentially became the Change and Engage Fair. That's what the event is called now. We'll bring all these kind of people that do volunteer in the community. We had introduced Give Pulse, and ASU was like, sure. This committee said, let's do an event. We'll work with the CSE and we'll introduce students to the concept of volunteer. So 85th session, 2017-18, if you look at the white paper, we're still focused right on the activity and the place. Okay, go ahead, go to the next slide. By the 86th session, 18-19, this committee begins to invite the administrative faculty from the Center for Student Engagement, from the Office of Service Learning and Civic Engagement. And they're like, okay, we've been looking at this paper. How does this really work, right? So ASUN is starting to ask itself questions like, how do we get from optional to pervasive learning? Not just in ASUN, but also on the academic side. I mean, that committee started asking really big questions. Their policy begins to take kind of like a larger focus. For example, Education in Nevada, they wrote a piece of legislation that wasn't about ASUN, it wasn't about the University of Nevada, Reno. You know, it was, hey, Board of Regents and legislators, we're having a hard time paying for education. We're concerned about this. So yeah, that's why I think you should follow that legislative tracker. Go ahead and go to the next slide. By 2019-20, right? This committee is introduced to the civic engagement continuum. And if you look at the continuum, right, super important because learning goes in stages. But what we're advising and teaching ASUN is that, look, you have a responsibility, yes, to create citizens that are aware, to be responsible. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time reading. Because I can't see that far. It's not your fault. Let me go this way. To be responsible citizens in your own right, you have a responsibility to be involved community members. And think of this in the context of you're also wearing a hat as a senator for ASUN. Take it a step further, being a contributing citizen. You know, are you registering to vote? Are you voting R? But at the end of the continuum, and to me, right, what I think really set wheels in motion, not just for ASUN, but had for us in the Center for Student Engagement and Student Services, how do we begin to have a social justice orientation as a citizen of a community? The university community, Reno as a community, Nevada, et cetera. So this committee gets introduced to that continuum, and boy, they really start asking questions. Go back and look at the legislation, and you're going to notice they start tracking state legislators. They start tracking university administrators, and their legislation is now going beyond ASUN, beyond the president of the university, all the way up to Congress and to the senators and to our state representatives. Okay, go to the next slide. I went over that. You can go to the next slide. Okay, can anybody tell me what happened on May 25th, 2020? Nation, in this nation. Anybody? Okay, that was the day, and depending on how you feel about this, George Floyd was murdered by the police department. Okay, so ASUN session, the previous session has just left office, and you've got a brand new session in place. Dom Hall is president of ASUN. She is the first African-American president elected in, I don't know, maybe 20 years. Austin Brown is her vice president, and Keegan Murphy is speaker of the Senate. We're still in the throngs of COVID. Remember that? I meant to ask you, I think you guys may not have even been in high school, or you were barely in high school at that point. When that happened, that really sent this nation into a tizzy. We had gone through the Me Too movement, right? There was a lot of protesting, which I would go out on a limb and say really wasn't being respected in the nation. But remember, this is your First Amendment right we're talking about. And so these were the things that were concerning us as higher education. Like, why are the people having such a hard time protesting, right? By the time what happened with George Floyd happened, and mind you, there had been some incidences for the Black community in this nation even prior to George Floyd, I have to tell you, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that student senate and that administration because people weren't angry. They were hurt. They were broken. And this wasn't just within the Black community. This thing shook the nation so much that entire communities were saying, what is going on in this country, right? At that point, if you go to the next slide, Chair Issa, that's when they had made the definitive, it might've been the year before, they were already transitioning to say, you know what? We have to be committed to democratic civic engagement. We are more powerful than we're giving ourselves credit for. They started wanting to be more purposeful in their legislation with a focus on social justice. So if you start going through the legislation, it's like, hey, we need to support our undocumented students. Hey, our first-gen students aren't doing well right now based on what's happening. Go through the legislation, and you're going to see that it gets, in my opinion, more powerful. But the association also feels the need to make sure that other people beyond the president of the university are aware, right, of what's happening. During that time, and there was, for the life of me, I can't remember the young woman's name, but as a white student, Black students chose to work with her to help them, and Dawn was a big part of this. They literally wrote 20 points, sent it to the administration, and said, these are the things we demand, right, as students on this campus, in light of what's happened to George Floyd, the things that we have been going through all along, and nobody seems to want to listen, right? They also formed a committee. They wanted the university to build a statue to Colin Kaepernick. That never manifested itself. The university just said no. I would strongly encourage you to go back, see if you can find Nevada Sagebrush articles, go through the legislation, go through the minutes in particular. It was, imagine, and you're trying to do everything on Zoom. Do you know how hard that was? The emotion, the feeling, the... So at this point, they're sending legislation beyond university and NG. They're also focusing more on student rights and responsibilities. Hey, wait a minute. We have a role to play as students on this campus. We can tell our faculty, right, that we think certain things should be added to the curriculum. Okay. And so go to the next slide. Anyway, that's pretty much it. I hope that kind of gives you kind of an overview. If you follow the link that I sent you, go back to your own words is what I'm telling you. Go back and look at the progression. Believe it or not, organizations evolve. And I loved when you asked me to do this, Chair Issa, because I was like, this is going to be so awesome to let them read their own words and concepts and see how they get bigger and see that the association really is more powerful sometimes than I think you all give yourselves credit for. You know, when things happen nationally, ASUN could have ignored this, right? They could have ignored what happened to George Floyd. Let me tell you, long before students even started knocking on the door or the social media component, the ASUN Senate and the executive branch of the association was on. They were like, whoa, whoa, it cannot be business as usual anymore. Things are happening in our nation that we have to acknowledge and then try and understand how is that impacting our students. It started with COVID the year before, right? I don't know if you know this, but all the programs and services were shut down. I was one of like three people coming to the university. At that point, we're transitioning your bookstore from being owned to working with Barnes & Noble. Do you know how creative we got? Students couldn't come get food at Pack Provision. So instead of unemploying all the campus escort officers, students would submit their orders online and campus escort officers would go drop them off at their doorstep, right? Everybody was in a panic because students were losing their jobs due to COVID. That year, our two coordinators ended up getting the Innovative Campus Program Award because they figured out how to keep students fed and how to keep students employed, right? And ASUN was like, do it, what, by all means, do it. So it is how I've often thought, it's not what happens. I think character is found, especially in public officials. and how we choose to act on what's happened, right? It has to be reactive sometimes, because whoever thought we would capture what happened to George Floyd on video? I'm sure it's happened many times. The point is, the association said, we can't just be silent. So I would encourage you to go back and read those minutes, listen to the minutes. And I would encourage you to do that, because I want you to hear the fear in their voices. They were scared. I was scared. Like, how do you? And then on Zoom, oh my God, that was the worst thing in the world. But it didn't stop the association, right, from evolving itself. And so that's how you all got to be the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Those are kind of some of the highlights, right, of the things that happened. Any questions? Any answer for you?
Any questions for Director Rodriguez on Zoom? Does the body give permission for Luis to speak? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Chase. Dr. Rodriguez, Ms. Hagar, for the record. The committee's work feels like it was so long ago, but thank you for the perspective that it was only 5 years ago.
Well, it started in 2016, 2007. It took us 3 years to prepare as faculty, like our pedagogy. How are we going to say you're doing good work, but how do we take this to the civic engagement level, right? You can't, everything, and we're in higher education, you all know education is built on itself, right? So there were many students involved in this even prior to, Service Palooza was a big deal on this campus, right? At some point, ASUN said, you know what, we're going to start focusing more on legislation, which is really an okay thing for you to do. But that event was going so well, it became the Change and Engage Fair, which the Center for Student Engagement now does. And by the way, all of you are welcome to join, right? Kathy's in charge of it. And I think you're working with senators right now. But this is what I mean by the evolution. If you don't evolve, right, you're not going to be able to be responsive to the very constituents you're supposed to be serving. Your lives have changed dramatically from the students of 2016. And you, who knows that better than you all, right? So these positions you have on this committee are super important and can be super powerful in terms of the legislation, right? And quite frankly, an understanding that your constituency is wide, it's varied, it's diverse. And so what are the issues that are facing your constituents, right? You are the ones that have to sometimes speak for them. I would hope you would speak with them, right? Have their voices present in whatever legislation you decide to produce as a committee for this coming session.
Any other questions for Dr. Rodriguez? Anyone in person?
And by the way, Alex, nobody in ASUN was involved with the food pantry at all. I'm not going to lie to you. ASUN was like, it's your program, figure it out. They told the staff, we get it, right? What would have happened, right, if this committee, because it was members of this committee, started getting involved to say, wait a minute, this thing is just getting bigger, issues getting bigger. And so to the point where now you all have created the special committee. This is what I mean by evolution and by the fact that you're way more powerful sometimes, I think, that you want to really understand.
Seeing as we have no questions, thank you very much, Dr. Rodriguez. And now moving on to, did I close out of this again? There it is. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 9, list miscellaneous businesses. I'll start with liaison changes and additions. Would anyone like to change their liaison position at this time? Nope. All right. And moving on to agenda item 9B, committee member reports. Does anyone have a report to give? We'll begin in person. Senator Castro?
Just wanted to update on my liaison position since the last time we met. I have met with Austin Daly. I'm still getting the last name right. Daly? Okay. I hope I didn't say it right to him. We came to a really crucial, I think, agreement over our committee's priorities and then his priorities going forward with his department, which is to say the greater emphasis on volunteerism. It was actually a good moment because we clicked on that completely. we understand that, like, both of our department and the committee are reaching that sort of understanding that when we are outside of the election year or the year we're in politics, really, it holds great in terms of how we get students to engage civically. We have to rely and fall back on the idea of getting them involved in the individual events in their community, which is something that Austin also wants to work on. Austin emphasized that the department is the youngest in the president's office, and therefore they really lack manpower right now. I think there's only three or four members of that department. So they really are going to be relying on us just a little bit in terms of our manpower with this committee and how we can fall back on the Senate in that terms in regards of getting people and bodies to their events. And also, but that also, that relationship is also mutualistic too, because Austin wanted me to emphasize as well how experienced they are in running events and how they've helped in the past political groups and organizations and clubs on campuses run their events too. One such event that they'd like to continue going is the Discussions of Democracy event, which they ran last year in the form of a public forum that students could attend with local and state and federal political officers. You probably were familiar with that, considering that you worked with Catherine Cortez Masto last year. She was one of those people in attendance. Austin said they're willing to open the event up to our opinions and ideas for how we can make it more interesting this year without directly touching on political officers for the state. But they're still really interested in running that event as well. We also briefly discussed the idea of bringing local community board groups. There's one group I know particularly called HESER that functions in Sparks. They're a Hispanic action community group. It's specifically garnered around what they can do small time in the community. Bringing those sort of groups together so students can be aware of both that they exist and also of how they can be serviced to those groups and in return. That's something we really talked about.
All right, thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Senator Castro? Does everyone give permission for Sani to give comment? Go ahead.
There are a number of community groups. Black Wall Street, which is, part of the African American community, the, what's the Asian group?
ACDC.
Yeah, ACDC. There are so many groups, Senator Castro, that you could open up the doors to. And remember, your students are part of these groups.
Mm-hmm. Senator Castro, I'm going to provide
Does anyone else have any committee reports to give? Nothing, Senator Moore? Nothing on the big event or nothing?
Well, no, yeah, I have a report.
Sure.
I have a report. First off, just briefly go to the Veterans Services Office. We're meeting next week. So more to come on that. I mean, the election and everything. And then Teresa and I have been meeting pretty consistently with Kathy to talk a lot about how civic engagement is going to look on the campus. One thing we're looking at, as Teresa mentioned, is the big event, which is hopefully going to be a giant service event planned mostly for incoming freshman students. And I believe we said that's August 26th and 23rd. So that's a work in progress right now. And then we also have been in discussion on Constitution Day.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a report? Oh, Senator Saporito.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. I met with Matthew Little from the Office of Service Learning on the 15th this month. That was a really good first impression. He's very friendly. We discussed the Service Learning Committee, a faculty committee that meets every last Monday of the month from 10:30 to 11:45 a.m. So during the school year, I'll be sure to go to as many as I can and relay the information that's being discussed at the committee or council. We discussed the over 800 plus contacts for service learning that he has in his disposal and the service learning classes that Director Rodriguez was previously talking about. We discussed the O/ general format, such as the scholarships and fellowships they provide. And we brought up the goals for our committee, the DCE. He said he'd be very interested in holding a presentation for us thoroughly explaining what his office provides for the university when the school year starts.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Senator Separato? Sandy, go ahead.
Alex, since you spoke to Matthew Little, can you convey to your colleagues here the definition of a service learning course? It occurred to me, I actually did share with you. How a service learning course differs from a regular course?
Well, instead of like a regular course that focuses more on staying within the classroom and focusing on concepts through lecturing, a service learning course is combining community service within to the class, heavily focused on the community, on the culture, of the society, and civilization around it. So it's heavily sponsors civic engagement. That's a good way to answer the question.
Does anyone have any other questions? No? All right. Do we have any other reports? None at this time? All right. Actually, I forgot to give my report. I did this last time. Sorry. So I've just been meeting with Amy periodically to just kind of go over just the big event. Same thing with Kathy. We're just kind of Kathy and Amy are just kind of mirroring things that they're saying about the big event and how we can work, how the committee worked to plan it. And also kind of, I guess not really related to this committee in particular, but I've also been in talks with Amy about making the ASU website more accessible so that way students are able to actually, those with visual disabilities are able to actually visit the website and see what our senators are up to and what we're doing in kind of that kind of jazz. So that's really it. Not much to report on my end. All right, moving on to agenda item 10, comments and announcements. Does anyone have any comments or announcements at this time? Nope. All right. Moving on to agenda item 11, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Luis, go ahead. Or state your name and position for the record.
Thank you, Chair Issa. Luis Aguilera, for the record. I want to thank Dr. Rodriguez for her time and presentation and the valuable knowledge she just shared with us. I should mention the five things administrators article. I just shared it with the committee. I'm sharing it with all of Senate as well. And then just that reflection piece to see how the words that your committee previously and how you moved that forward.
All right, thank you. Is there any public comment at this time? Please state your name and position for the record.
The county counselor for the record. I wanted to share an opportunity to volunteer that could be tied into the big event or other CLDE events that we have. We were asked by the U.S. Force to create ornaments for a big the holiday, sorry, Washington, D.C., Christmas tree. More information to be shared for that, but they're asking to have about 300 ornaments. So I'd love some collaboration on how we can facilitate that through campus. And just getting more opportunities for our community to come together for this event.
All right, thank you. All right, now moving on to agenda item 12, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 12:37 p.m. in the Frankie Suda Pop-Up President's Conference Room and on Zoom. All right. Thank you, everyone.
And by the way, this is that big Christmas tree to see you now. So cool.